and the seeds of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again now. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful faith. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Lord. Oh, turn Your eyes on Jesus. Look to His wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. And He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless Your name. And You'll never be the same. You believe that this morning, saints? He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Hallelujah. Praise His name. You believe that this morning? You believe He's here this morning and you could touch Him today? Amen. Through faith in His name, through faith in His word this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. I want our eyes to be open this morning. I want my eyes to be open to hear His word. Amen. To be ready. Amen. Let's sing it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 I want to see you, I want to see you, yes, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want. I want to see you. You high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you. Give him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. How many want to see him this morning? You want to see him. Amen. We see him through his word today. I'm going to ask Brother Josh to come this morning. We take our prayer request. We want to remember Sister Shirley Lingle and her husband in prayer. He is still in critical condition. We want to remember that. Remember Sister Mary Smith not feeling well today. Also remember my wife not feeling well this morning. Remember her. Remember Chris Novell family. He was killed Friday morning in a backhoe accident. His wife was a patient of Hannah Gunner. He was 59 years old. So let's remember this Chris Novell family this morning that was killed in a backhoe accident. God would just bring them peace and comfort in this time of sorrow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you have an unspoken request this morning? We have several away this morning. I know Brother Ben's family's away. I want to remember them. And Sister Shirley Buchanan's away. I want to remember them. Those are the ones that I know of. So I know there's others that are not here this morning. Pray that God would just be with them. Meet each need, wherever they're at, traveling or whatever, God would be with them. Let's pray this morning. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we come before you now this morning, Father, with open hearts, Lord. Willing and accepting, Lord, of you, Father. We come here, Lord, obeying your word, Father, to come together, Lord, to worship you. I pray, Lord, you just be with the requests, Lord, as they were read out, Father. As I hold them in my hand, Father, you know the names. You know the hearts that I wrote them out, Lord, to be put up here, to be spoken, God. For the families that are hurting, Lord, with loved ones, Lord, who've passed on or sick or in the hospital, Lord. I pray, God, you just go to their bedsides, Lord, or be close to them, God. Lord, we pray for the service, God, today. Pray that Brother Dale will have something for our hearts today, God, and that you just come down, Lord, and in a mighty way to fill our hearts with your love, Lord, and give us understanding and revelation, Lord, of your word today. Lord, we pray for our pastor, Lord, who's out of the country, Lord. I pray that you be with the services over there, Lord, and bring them back safely, Lord. For all the ones that are traveling and away, God, be with them, Lord, and continue to watch over them, Lord, as they travel, and bring them home safely. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Shake hands as you're being seated this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. How many wants a closer walk? I want to welcome everyone to the service this morning. Amen. I want to welcome those listening by way of internet also. Pray that God would just give us a blessing this morning that we need food in due season. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am weak, but thou art strong.
Thy keep.
kingdom shore, to thy shore. Let's sing it now. Hallelujah. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is by me. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Let it be. Amen. Give him another good hand clap. Praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise this morning. We'll ask Sister Smith to sing a special for us this morning.
But you always catch me when I fall.
Praise the Lord. It's what we need to do more of. Praise Him. Amen. Appreciate that beautiful song this morning from Sister Smith. Let's stand as our ushers come this morning. Let's just sing that old song, Glory to His Name. It's either F or G. I'm not sure. Hit F. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Brother Tom, lead us in prayer. Yes. Amen. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, and then to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name, and there to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, and there cross where He took me in. Glory to His name, singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name, and there to my heart was the blood of Christ. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me. Glory to His name, singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. My heart was the blood of life. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge it today and He may come. Glory to His name, singing glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to Your name this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have Brother Dale Smith with us this morning. We're going to ask him to get ready and come this morning as we sing that last verse again. Amen. Glory to His name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge him today and he may was the blood of life. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory to His name. Oh, bless you, brother. Bless you. Wonderful name. There to my heart. Be saved. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Oh God, that you've called us, Lord, in this late hour. Lord, and that you've given us a hope, Lord, beyond the grave, Lord. And Lord, beyond this realm of mortal kin, oh God, that we can, Lord, we are looking forward to that glad millennial day. Oh God, where the dead in Christ shall rise and we'll be gathered to, Lord, to be in that city, Lord, where the Lamb is the light. And Father, we love you, Lord, and we praise you this morning. We thank you for your love and your grace, Lord, for life and health, a beautiful day, Lord, all that you've given us, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord. And Father, we just want to praise you for it. And Lord, that you've touched our lives and you've touched our bodies. And Lord, you've just been so mindful of us, Lord, when we're so, Lord, many times so neglectful of the things of God. We pray, Father, this morning that you'll anoint us, Lord, and the hearer and the speaker. Lord, you'll be with our dear pastor as he travels abroad. And Lord, be with him, Lord, and help him. Father, we just pray for the bride universally. We ask your grace upon them, Lord. In Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I guess we have a contingency on this side of the church. They wanted to fill this side up first, I guess, and then left the rest for y'all. So. It seems a little out of balance. Maybe we ought to do a Jericho march and then get everybody seated. Yeah, so I feel I have a crick in my neck preaching this side. Well, y'all pay attention anyways. I'm preaching over here too. It's out of balance. I feel like I lean like this a little bit. Praise God. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. To honor the resurrection of our lovely Lord Jesus, we bring you greetings from saints down in South Carolina who I've got to FaceTime with and speak to on the phone. I haven't seen them in a long time. And we've been out west up in Canada and just traveling abroad and been in the South Pacific and just everywhere. And we're looking forward to the next week being home to see my little grandbabies. And they're looking forward to seeing their pawpaw. So that's a good deal. I got a fresh bait of suckers for them and lots of candy, jelly beans. Amen. I have them kids so wired up. Oh, they'll be glad to mama see me be waving, saying, glad to see you go. Yeah, we'll have them all full of sugar and snotty noses and everything. It'll be great, isn't it? That's the power of Grandpa. Amen. Well, God bless you. We won't be singing anymore. If you have your Bibles, would like for you to go with me into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there we want to preach a little thought that we'll title this morning, that we'll title it, Bearing the Heavenly Image. And we pulled our thought from a message that Brother Branham preached 1965, I believe. I can
Let me double check. Where is my note on that? I have several quotes from there, but yes, 1965 was actually December of 65. The message, Things That Are to Be. We were traveling down into the South Pacific, the island country of Vanuatu. And there, as we were on in our journey, was listening to this message on the airplane there, and just was so inspired by some of the things that Brother Ram said. I thought that the title was striking, that he would say the things that are to be, that he was actually prophesying to us within the last weeks of his life, that he was going to leave the scene within just a couple of days of preaching this message. And he's telling us of things that are to be. And I believe that we are they in whom these things have come upon. Amen. And so we want to take our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, probably one of the my most referred to passages of Scripture. Because I believe it's the hour that we live in. It's the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And we're reading there. We'll begin reading from verse 45. I would like to just read the whole chapter, but we'll pull a text from verse 45 to down to verse 50. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthy, and we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. May the Lord bless the reading of the word this morning as you make yourselves comfortable. We're from the Strong's Concordance, I was drawing some definitions of some words there because we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. And we'll get to a quote where Brother Bram actually tells us that the earthly is bearing the image of the heavenly and things that are to be. And that's where I pull my thought from. And so as we want to see how that every scripture is compounded in its meaning. And sometimes we overlook the present tense application of a scripture because we're looking forward into another time or maybe into its ultimate fulfillment. Because we see that the Bible speaks of an adoption, and we know that that adoption is to wit the redemption of the body. The change is when we come to the fullness of adoption, but there's still a part of that adoption that we have to live out in this life, because Brother Brown tells us that our adoption is based upon our conduct. And so that conduct is not what we'll be when we're changed, but what we're here on this side before that we're changed. Because it's that conduct that actually brings us to the position where that the Holy Spirit can lay that seal upon our life and say that we are that we have come to a place of mature sons. And so is this concept here, because the scripture tells us that the first thing that was manifest was the earthy. The earthy came first, speaking of the first man, Adam, and that there would be a heavenly or a spiritual, which was the second man, Adam, which was Christ himself, which came from heaven. And so we realize that when man was created, Brother Bram tells us that he was created according to Genesis chapter 2, that he was created first a spirit man. And that spirit man then was brought down and able to contact the earth that God had spoken about. Body into existence, and that body was standing there, he said, had toes like roots going down into the earth. He said, and then he placed that spirit man into that earthly body, and so now that earthly body could go. And so in one sense of the word, the spiritual was before the earthly. But the Bible here, now bringing the order of man, how that we would be born into the earth, and so following the pattern of this here, that we would be born into the earth earthly, and then we would take on a heavenly image, or a heavenly, we would actually bear a heavenly image in the full manifestation when we go in the resurrection, because we're sown in corruption and we'll be raised in incorruption. We're sown a terrestrial body, but we also have a heavenly body, a theophany. Now, when the Bible tells us here in verse 48, it says, and as the earth earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as the heavenly, such also that are, and the word heavenly there means of heavenly origin. And I like that, because it's now going back and taking that great Pauline doctrine that has been so controversial down through the ages of our predestination and of our election. And here the Bible is telling us that we have a heavenly origin, that we came from God and that we returned to God, that we were in His thoughts and we came here to be manifest upon the earth and to live out our life and to show works of righteousness, that we that's the Armenian side, amen, that we would bear the reproach of the gospel, that we would live lives that are worthy of the gospel, and that the bearing of that life, that it would be a reflection, or that it would be a testimony that we came from God, because only those that came from God, amen, are the ones that are going back to God, that you have eternal life. You've always had eternal life. You just now come to a place of recognition. And when we come to that place of recognition, then that starts us on our journey back to where we came from. Praise God. Now, Jesus now making this statement in St. John chapter 12, he said, if any man serve me, then let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And so now this was the desire, this was the purpose of Christ's coming, was for the plan of redemption. The very word by nature means that we had a place before, that we have, that Christ came to purchase us, to bring us out of the pawn shop where we had been sold under sin, under our first family birth, that we were birthed in the world under Adam nature. And so therefore, there had to come one that would redeem us from the fall. And so Christ came to pay the price of pardon, the price of redemption, that God had set. There was a certain price that would have to be paid before, because the wages of sin were death, and that every man that transgressed the law, that there would have to be, amen, a redeemer, that there would have to be a kinsman. And so God in His great law required a death for a sin, and we would have to pay for our own sin in death. But then that would be a termination of us. There would be no more. But God in His great mercy provided a substitutionary life. And so through the Old Testament, we find that they used the blood of bulls and goats, because it was a sin from animal life from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. And Brother Bam said, because man had sinned by going into the animal kingdom, that he would require the blood of an animal to perpetuate for him, or to be an atonement for him, until the time of restitution would come, until Shiloh would come. Hallelujah. And then when Christ came, then he took upon himself the sins of us all, and because he was of a human being, then he could now bear our sins, amen, and carry them far away. But then on the Easter morning when he rose triumphant over death and hell, he brought that life back, amen, and now he's parted himself and put that life that was once, amen, our conscience would be still with us, but now our conscience can be eradicated, it can be put away from us. We have to think of our sin no longer, but we've been set free, amen, we have been justified. The Bible says that we are justified by his resurrection. Hallelujah. And when he rose from the dead, amen, he put our sins far from us. And someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Amen. And so it was his desire from the beginning that where he is, that there you may be also. And he prayed that prayer, the high intercessory prayer of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane in St. John chapter 17. He said, Father, I will that they also, whom that thou hast given me, be with me, that where I am, they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The prophet of God tells us that one thing after his sacrifice that he did here on the earth, the life that he lived, the path that he walked, that he asked for one thing. You imagine that here was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the very fullness of the Godhead bodily. He lived a perfect life. He lived an innocent life. Though he was a man of like passions, he had the same feelings that you go through, the same temptations that you go through, the same pains and sicknesses that you have to endure and these things. And he groaned with headaches. He suffered from hunger, from cold, from weariness, from rejection. He felt all the human emotion that you feel. And yet he was able, because he came through that theophany, that he was the very attribute of God, but that God could actually become the very high priest that could be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. And that he lived his life in such a way that when he come to the end of his journey, can you imagine that having lived 33 and a half years of life and have pleased the Father in every breath that you breathed? Think about it, friends. That here was a man, the Son of Man, that had actually, the Bible says that Jesus says in the Gospels, he said, I do always that which pleases him. And so here he was at the end of his life. He said, for this purpose I came unto the earth, that I should be rejected, that I should be forsaken by my familiar friends according to the scripture, that I should be turned over to the hands of the heathens, and that I should be crucified. He said, for this cause I came. And that when he would come to the end of his journey, having done all to satisfy the scripture, having done all to please the Father, that he would only ask for one thing. He could have asked for anything. The Bible says that Jesus said, he always hears me. When he was at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Father, I don't say these things for my sake, for you always hear me, but this is for their sake that I say these things. And he cried with a loud voice. And so, but here was Jesus at the end of his earthly ministry, and he asked for one thing, and only one thing. Brother Bram says it like this, that he asked for one thing, that where I am, they may be also. He asked for our fellowship. That's the only thing he asked the Father in prayer, your companionship forever. Oh, you ought to love him this morning. That he desired your companionship. That he wanted to be, that he wanted you individually, every one of you, to be there in that place of eternity, to behold Him in His glory that He shared with the Heavenly Father before the foundations of the world, when the Lamb was slain, and when the sons of God shouted for joy, and the morning stars sang together, that there would be a place that you would be reunited, that you would be redeemed back to the place that He had with you before the foundation of the world. A complete restoration of the bride and the bridegroom together in eternity. He said, that's what I desire, is my wife's companionship for all eternity. And you think about that this morning. That here was a man in our day, a prophet messenger that was sent to the earth, and that God came in a visitation through an angelic visitation and told that earthly messenger that sex born, sex conceived, man of sorrows, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, had to be converted just like you have to be converted, had to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but yet he had a specific office and a specific ministry that he would have to do in the earth. And God takes Brother Branham, leads him down to a cave down in Greensmill, Indiana, and there he visits him by an angel. And tells him that there would be that he would pray for monarchs, kings, and potentates, and that he would have signs given to him, as Moses was given signs, and that he would pray for sick people, and that nothing would stand in the way of his prayer, not even cancer. And that if God would so respect the prayer of an earth born son of Charles and Ella Branham, then how much more this morning would he hear the prayer of his only begotten Son? That he said that where I am, that there you'll be also. That God is going to make sure that you make it. Because God's prayer cannot be unanswered. You think that the Heavenly Father would deny the one prayer that his Son would make? And the prophet of our day says, he said that God so honored the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he did to eradicate sin from the earth bride. He said that he returned and gave that bride back to Jesus Christ as a love gift for his earthly sacrifice. Oh, my friends, you can't no more be lost than God himself can be lost. You are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh this morning. Oh, so now ask that your joy could be full. Pray to the Heavenly Father. Speak in his name. Whatever you have need of, ask, my friend, amen, because God, amen, is on the throne. The Lord prays this prayer. Now, this is interesting to me that 2,000 years ago, Christ Jesus comes to the earth. He makes this prayer, this intercessory request of Almighty God, that the earthly bride would be united to the heavenly bridegroom. And that these two would be together for all eternity. But yet we have 2,000 years of earth's history that has to transpire before the consummation of all things. And in the midst of all that, we find that there are millions of souls that will have to come down and will have to suffer. They will be burned. They will be sawn asunder. Tortured of every manner of torture. They will give their lives in wars and in battlefields and in foreign missions and in the caves and in the jungles and in the frozen north, and believers like you. But that prayer had gone forth, and each time that one of those believers would come to the end of their predestinated journey, that God, that they've said it through the annals of history, that they've gone to their reward, that they've run the course, they've finished their race, and now there is laid up for them a crown of righteousness, and they would go to their reward, they would go to their coronation day, they would receive their graduation, amen, their promotion. And we've set it down through the ages for 2,000 years, but through that time, that prayer was still in effect. It was still in effect, and though they would go by way of the grave, we know that they're waiting there for the consummation. They're waiting there for every fulfillment of all the scripture. But the Lord Himself, in order to fulfill this prayer of Christ, that where He is, that we would be also, that He sends John to the Isle of Patmos, and there He allows John to get in the Spirit, amen, and on the Lord's day, and God lifts John up into a heavenly dimension, and from that dimension He begins to show him things that are to be. He begins to show him how that Christ Himself will be walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks, and how that this Christ Himself would actually take on feminine designation, and that He would be girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and that his feet would be like fire, and His eyes, and it tells that His sharp sword would come out of His mouth, and begins to explain all these things. What was this? But this was the manifestations of Christ to the bride down through the church ages, so that He would make sure that that bride for that age would be where He is. Hallelujah. Amen. And so each age had to come underneath the anointing of the lion, of the ox, of the man, and now in this last days of the flying eagle, we find that there were seven spirits of God that went down to each of the seven church ages. We find there were seven eyes that went to the seven church ages. That there were seven stars that were represented by seven messengers that God sent down to the church ages. Why? So that each one of those ages would have a representation of God in the scripture that would call them from the earth. He said that, so that where I am, there they may be also. God was going to make sure, and so He put the ministry of seven stars, the ministry of seven eyes, the ministry of seven spirits, and the ministry of seven horns to seven church ages. Oh my, you think about it, friends. God is so sure that you will be there, and He made sure that you will be there. In Revelation chapter 5, and in verse 6, He said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and of the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain." That God Himself, that He knew that Christ would be that lamb, and that He had chosen that lamb. In the Old Testament, the individual worshiper had to choose his own lamb. But could you imagine, what if that man chose a lamb and it was the best lamb he had, but that lamb had a broken leg. That lamb had a big old scar where it got hung up in the fence, or where it got its eye poked out on a piece of cactus or something, you know. But that was the best lamb he had. And he would bring it to the priest, and the priest would look at his lamb and say, "No, I'm sorry, sir, your lamb, not qualified." Can you imagine what that man would have to do if that was the best one that he had? What was he going to do? Then he would have to go and buy a lamb. He would have to hunt high and low to find a lamb, because he would have to produce his own lamb. But God, when He thought of you, He said, "No, I won't let them choose their own lamb, because they'll choose a Saul. They'll choose a David. They'll choose somebody like that. They'll be good men. Maybe David was a good man. He was a man after God's own heart, but David had flaws. They'll choose a Moses, but Moses had flaws. They'll choose a Solomon, but Solomon had flaws. They'll choose an Ezekiel or an Isaiah, but they all had flaws. And so God said, no, I won't let that happen because they'll choose the wrong man. He said, so I'll become the man and I'll provide myself a sacrifice. I'll be Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Abraham could not find his own lamb. God provided him a lamb. Amen. I'm here to tell you, amen, that God is here this morning and he has provided himself a lamb to make sure that you'll be where he is. Hallelujah. Oh, think about it this morning. There stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns. Brother Bram says, now he comes to take his bride. He comes now as king. He is looking for his queen. Amen and amen. And this book is written, the whole secret, it's wrapped around seven seals. Oh, brother, seven seals waiting for him to come. Notice, let's get these symbols. Seven horns was the seven churches, see? Seven church ages, because that was the Lamb's protection. We thought the Lamb was sent to protect us. He was. Amen. His blood covers us and protects us from sin. It's a shield from the blast. All these things. But he also put an anointing of a horn. The seven horns were the seven churches. And he says it was the Lamb's protection. What he protected his rights with on the earth. So now there's going to be a group of people that will lay claims to God-given rights that were given to you as a believer so that you can protect the gospel, that you can protect the ministry, that you can protect the message of the hour. Now then, I know right away when we say it like that, that people's mind, if you're versed in the message, that you'll go straightway to the church age book, and then you'll begin to say, but they said that they would want to protect the message, so they put a period behind it and denominated around it. That's the wrong kind of protection. That's a man-made protection, and that becomes a dogma of the church. But what Brother Bram's talking about here is that there will be a God-given group of people, a God-anointed group of people, that will protect the rights of God by living the message of the hour for their day. They will put on the righteousness of God. They will live it out through lives lived. They will be the very representation of Christ to the world, and they will protect the truth of God's word, that they will be baptized in the name of Jesus, that they will be filled with the Holy Ghost. They will protect and prove that the word of God is true. They will live it out. They will lay hands on the sick. They will cast out demons. If they take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Amen. They will lay claims on God-given rights, and they will live it out through lives lived. That's the horn of God. His rights upon the earth was a God-sent group of people that protected, see, the horn of the Lamb. Now, as we have already stated, Jesus identifies himself with the messengers of each age. They would receive from him the revelation on the word for each period. And this word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world and into a full union with Jesus Christ. So you see that God wanted you to be in full union. Not a partial union, not a partial realization, not a partial understanding, but he wanted you to come to a full union with Christ. And the only way that you can come to a full union with Christ is you have to die to self. You have to let go of the world, and you have to be birthed anew by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now this birth then brings you by revelation, because the only way the new birth can come in each age is under the message of God for that age. As He reveals Himself, He reveals His name to the people by interpreting the Word, and He interprets the Word by bringing it to pass. And so there would be a group of people upon the earth in each age. Under Luther's age, they heard the message of Luther. They came out under justification. They received the Spirit for that age, and they were birthed under Luther's message. Now, it was a birth that pointed forward unto, Brother Bam says, it's just pointing unto, but they were still under the birth of that age. We find that under Wesley, the same thing. Under Pentecostals, they received a restoration of the gifts, but they, when they matured, they were only matured to the point of the shuck. And so then the message comes under that church age of the Laodicean age and cries out to them and says, come out of her, my people. Now, Revelations 18:4 now is going to be interpreted by the Word being made manifest. When the Word is interpreted, He brings it to pass. And so here was Revelations 18:4, and that mighty angel crying out, come out of her, my people. And the Pentecostals, they kept naming the name of Christ, but the name of God was not revealed to them, because they just kept saying, Jesus, 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 and they got nothing. But the bride heard the Eliezer call, come out of her, amen, separated from the shuck, and now is sitting under the sun, ripening, amen, letting the Word be interpreted to her that Malachi 4 is the truth, Revelations 10:7 is the truth, and Revelations 10:8-11, amen, is materializing in my life that I am the very Word of God interpreted upon the earth. And so what he does is he sends a messenger. They receive from him the revelation on the Word for each period. And this Word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world, out of the shuck, out of the stalk, out of the tassel, out of the shuck, into the seed, to have full union with Jesus Christ. He said, now we're at the evening time. The earthly body is now ready to be dissolved. I have a quote. You brothers, I didn't see the thumbs up. Yep, got it. And if you'll get that ready. And now we're at the evening time. The earthly body is now ready to be dissolved. We're preparing to enter into the heavenly. And we now feel the strange call. The strange call of God to go into this great Eden. And so when he speaks of Eden, he speaks of Genesis. Genesis speaks of origin. And so as we said in the beginning of our thought, that the heavenly means of heavenly origin. And so now there's a strange call of God that's coming upon the bride, and she's rising up to the challenge, Brother Bam calls it, the challenge of the hour. And so that challenge of the hour is to be restored back to an Eden condition, a state of innocence, a restored to oneness, to full union, and to full fellowship. And so here in questions and answers, it's a bit of a read, and so I want you to follow along with me, if they'll bring this up. And we're going to start here in paragraph 246. And Brother Bam says, we cannot receive the promised son that's promised us today in these bodies that we live in. These bodies are sin. And so, but we say, but if we don't receive the promised son for this day, then we're all lost. So you can't receive it in these bodies. And so, because remember, the scripture tells us, we read in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So now then we have to look outside of the terrestrial. We have to look outside of the earthy, because the earthy cannot receive the promised son for this day because it's sin. And so now there has to be something else that will receive the promised son, because you must kiss the son lest he be angry. Oh my. 247, he says, this first conscience controls this body with see, taste, smell, and hear, and has just got us all scrupled up. We reason and everything else, but that new body that comes from what? This born again, not this first conscience, it'll pass away. It's that inside something that lives. Everybody understand it? Say amen. About five of you. Okay, shall we read this again? If you understand that, it requires a new birth in order to receive the son of promised son of this day. You can't receive it just in your see, taste, touch, smell, and hear. Everybody got that? Say amen. That's better. Because he says here, congregation replies, amen. That's edited, so you have to do that, see, if you understand it. Now, paragraph 248. It's not this outside see, the taste, feel, smell, and hear. It isn't. It's subject to death and will die. But the inside part of you, down inside, down in here, inside, that is the person that cannot die. Oh, glory to God. And that's the person the new life starts from this new birth. And it builds another person in the image of this person that you are around that life. You get it? So now then, what is it doing? But there's a new life that's forming around. It started out, Brother Evans said, like a little button. He said, but then you begin to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. You begin to feed upon the message. You begin to pray, and you begin to attend the church. You sit under a pastor. You pay your tithes. You support with prayer and attendance. And that's the things that you can do. And you're building around that inside body that you normally would have never done that. You would have built around, you would have got a big cheese block and stuck it on your head and paint yourself orange, and you would have went out and sat in a ball field somewhere in freezing cold weather and shouted until you got hoarse and frostbite and every kind of thing, try to support some football team. Why? Because it's building around a body, a life that was inside of them, because that's their desire, that's what they want, that's what they're hungry for. But a true child of God, because he's born of the Spirit of God, then something down inside of him begins to build around that inside body, because it knows that one day this body of flesh is going to drop it. Amen. And it's going to receive a new body, and it's going to unite with a theophany, and you'll go to be with the Lord forever. Amen. Because you're going to fulfill his high intercessory prayer. Builds another person in the image of this person that you are. I'm not what you see here. This thing is full of failures and faults and stumblings and mistakes. But on the inside, there's a man there that loves God, that loves His children, that believes His Word. Amen. Is striving to make heaven my home, that wants to see the Savior. 249, he says, so potentially it's here. And what is it? The Word promised before the foundation of the world. And around there, this only reflects the negative that will reflect the positive, the Word, see? And the same thing, or the translation of the bride, will be the same thing. The Word that's in you, the body, will materialize around that Word. And the same thing did by Sarah. You see, that's what happened to her. She was just following her bridegroom, Abraham, for 25 years. He kept asking her, how do you feel, Sarah? I feel the same. That's just going to be a greater miracle. Come on, honey, let's go. And so she followed him. She called him Lord. She followed that pattern that God had set for all believers, that if they just stay in the Word, stay with the promise, don't deviate, don't turn away from it, lay a hold of it, amen, grab your God-given token, amen, by your anointed faith, and hold on, because there's going to come a day that that Word that's inside of you, that there will be a body that will materialize around it, and you'll be changed in the very atoms. Hallelujah. Oh my. But he said, you know, here's 24 years, 11 months, and 29 days. How do you feel, Sarah? Don't feel a bit different. It's just going to be a greater miracle. The next day, amen, he said, how do you feel, Sarah? She goes, I feel great. And she got to looking around, like Jewel says, I looked at my hands, and they were new. Oh, what was it? She got her body changed because she stayed around that Word, and that Word body materialized around her. Before, when that old body she had, that first body, it had to be changed in order to produce a son. You get it? And that body could not do it. And this body cannot do it. So it'll have to be changed the same way to receive the Son. Brother Bam tells us, he said, this body is just an old coat. And he said, it's out of style. Amen. My old coat's out of style. Amen. I want one of them 19-year-old coats. Amen. This old 54 or however old I am coat, amen, it's wore out. I just don't want to wear it no more. Oh, but there's another one hanging in God's picture gallery over there. Oh my, there's no wrinkles, there's no extra chins, amen. There's none of that stuff that's there. Oh my, it's all changed. It's brand new, it's unused. Praise be to God, and I'm looking for it. Amen. He said, this here is just a memorial of you. The people seen you in that, and what you was, your real you was on the inside of that. But the old coat itself, it just bore the image of the heavenly. Oh, I want to bear the image of my Lord. If I could, I don't know how to do it always. And I don't know what, I don't know what He'll be when He comes. But I know this, according to the Word, that I'll be like Him. I'll be like Him. And I'll see Him as He is. And how will I see Him as He is? I'll see Him in you. You'll see Him in me. We'll know that we're getting closer when we get to see Christ in each other. When we weep, when we say goodbye, when we can't wait for the church doors to open, when we get to that place where the Word just feeds our soul, and we like in the old days, they walked around and they just wept and they didn't say nothing and they just the Word fed them and they just sit down just weeping and crying over the Word. Oh friend, the Word ought to stir us up today. If it's the only thing that's going to change our lives. All your psychology, all your intellect, all your education, all your experience, all of your technologies and all of your devices and things and your multimedia and your social networking and all these things, they will never, never change your body. But there's only one connection that will change your body. And when you come into full union with Jesus Christ, that will change your body. He said, "Oh, people, have you made reservations to change coats? Did you make a reservation today?" I remember it was over, I think it was Brother Ron Peterson's out in Arizona. He sent me a confirmation. I went to the hotel and they said, "No, this confirmation isn't for you." Or they said, "Is your name Jewel Forney?" I said, "No." I said, "Well, this confirmation isn't for you. And it's not for today. It's for next week." And I'm going, "Oh no, I got the wrong confirmation. I got the wrong reservations. It wasn't going to do me any good." I said, "Well, what are we going to do?" She said, "Well, you're going to have to get a different reservation." So I called her Brother Ron. I said, "Brother Ron, they won't let me in because I'm not Jewel. And it's not next week." He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I sent you the wrong." So he sent me the right reservation. They let me in. I think a lot of times people today, they're saying, "Well, I'm going to get in on Mama's reservation. I'm going to get in on Daddy's reservation. I'm going to get in on the pastor's reservation." No, sir, you've got to have your own reservation. Your token has to have your name on it. Your token has to have your identification. It's got to have your life in it. Mine won't work for you. As if you made reservations to change coats, have you made reservations for heaven? Remember, you must have reservations. You can't get in without them. I'm talking to you in modern language now that you know. If you go to the Hell Hotel and say, "Well, I had the reservation," it's the wrong one. You better make sure your confirmation is right. Jesus commands us to be perfect as the Father is perfect. And then through death, descending, ascending, and condescending in the great Holy Ghost, He gave gifts unto men. The Bible calls it, or Brother Ram refers to it, theologians called it, the fivefold ministry. Some call it a fourfold. My Bible lists five. Brother Ram said five. So I teach five. Five is the number of grace. And so it's, I know some want to try to modify that, but it's truly five. And for the perfecting of the saints. And you can't take that away. You can't neglect that. You can't minimize that. He said, so this fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. Jesus said that you must be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then He sent us a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, the sanctified ones, to bring the church to the stature of a perfect bride. All these things that's promised. Watch, this is a direct quote. Brother Bam says, all these things that's promised, you see, the Word preached in its power. And so now that here is a word that is being preached in its power, that you will see a prostitute off the street made into a lady. You'll see a drunkard come out of there and be a real saint of God, see? There's something life in there. In where? In the preaching. When the gospel is preached, in its power. When the word is preached in its power, there's a life in there, and you'll begin to feel. I'm glad that we can feel something today. Brother Bam said we may get to a place where we're past feeling time. That you won't feel it no more. Brother Bam said it'll get to that place and you'll continue preaching, but you'll be preaching to the totally lost and the eternally lost. And so we want to pray that there's a spark of life, that when the word is preached, it'll still be a quickening. There'll be still a shocking. There'll still be a something that stirs us that said, I need what he's saying. Not just because I'm saying it. Or Brother Barry's saying it, or Brother Steve, or whatever. But no, because the word preached through those gifts, that's a God's provided way of perfecting the saints. And that doesn't mean to make you flawless. That means to make you complete, so that you will have all the equipment that you need to get out of here in the translation. There's something in there, a life in there, and you begin to feel, well, maybe I oughtn't do that. Well, what's that? It's a that. That's what it is. We all got one. I don't know what your that is, and you don't know what my that is, but we all got a that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's something that you know that you shouldn't do. And then the word preached starts telling you, you know, I need to correct things in my life. All those that's that are in my life. I got that way I dress and that way I act and that thing I look at and that thing that I shouldn't look at and that thing that keeps me out of church and that thing that. And you know what that is. Well, McDonald had a that. Are you with me? You know, you got to think sometimes. You got to do some spiritual inventory and say, you know, I got too many that's. I got to deal with that. Well, maybe I oughtn't do that. But see, what is it? Well, it's an it. It's these things in life that the word being preached, it tells the inside me, I don't want those its and I don't want those that's and I don't want those things. I want to be separated. I want to be different. I want to be changed. But see, what is it? See, what it is, it's something that your body yonder is needing. When you hear the word preached, it's a vitamin that's telling you, look, I need to apply this word that's being preached to my life. And when I apply that to my life, that word preached to my life, it pushes that other thing out. When I recognize this to be eagle food, then I reject that other thing. Amen. And then what does it do? Then he says, then you've heard from your theophany, which is a word form body, which is the real you coming in unity, in full union with Jesus Christ. He said, God's got vitamins right here for every bit of that body. Jesus has gone to prepare a place in the bosom of God. Yes, sir. A little germ, son of God, or little son or daughter of God. And before we can be born here, our little brown bodies cried for something that had to be provided. So he's talking about your natural birth. There was things that your mother craved while you were being formed. You know, there were bizarre things, different things, because of where you were born. Brother Bam said many times, in order to be able to help somebody, he had to know where they were born. Where they were born. You know, you can't deal with Bible Belt people the same way you deal with New York people. They don't act the same. You can't deal with East Coast people the way you deal with, you know, Southwest people. They're different. They act different. It's a culture shock. It's a culture difference. But they all have to come under the Word of God. Brother Bam said you have to know where you were born at, what sign you were born on, what your name is. All these things contributed to who you are. But that was his way of understanding who you were. And he could get in and ask you some questions along those lines. That gift would come down. He'd begin to read your mail, tell you who you were, what you were, where you come from. All these different things. Because there was a divine prophetic gift laying there that would do that work. We were just listening this morning in Daniel 70 weeks, just listening to the message there. Brother Bam began to talk about those gifts. He said, now then, he said, as Moses had to call on help from other people, he said, so I call Brother Neville because he has a gift of prophecy and he can discern the thoughts of the people. That gift of prophecy would operate and he would be able to help the people. He said, those gifts are in the body. Amen. They're in the body. We realize that many times today that the gift operates right across the pulpit under third pull ministry. It just goes out, tells you right, man, you said, that's what I needed right there. You know, it answers the problem. We begin to pray for you. Many times I never counsel people. I don't, I'm an evangelist. I don't come into somebody's church. I just had a woman the other day come to me, said she had issues and she wanted to talk to me about things, and I asked her if she had talked to her pastor. She said, well, that's kind of the problem. And I said, well, it's outside of my page grade. So I don't talk to people, especially I don't talk to sisters. I don't, that's not my operation of the gift. My operation of the gift stops right here. We'll pray for you. We'll do whatever we got to do. But when it comes to counseling, discerning of spirits and those kind of things, no place for an evangelist. He's not given for that. The pastor is given for that. You see, but we can preach many times things that the pastor has already told you. The pastor's already told you, he's already corrected you, he's already lined you out, he's already explained these things, and now then you're just saying, oh, but I just don't want to do those things. Then the evangelist comes up, he says exactly the same thing across the pulpit, and there's two witnesses. You apply it and you get well. You see how it operates? You have vitamins. The vitamins are here. And it's that other body, that celestial, that heavenly that's calling so that you can bear in the earthly, while we're still earthly beings, we can bear the image of a heavenly, divine, celestial that we're going to. Because remember, you've heard this before, we are not earthly beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings. And we're just having a little earthly journey, a little earthly experience. From things that are to be. Therefore, the bride in the rapture will come forth. And there is all pre-planned by God. All backed up from the beginning. He knew every man, every place, who would set all about it. It's all pre-planned. God knew it would be here and when. And he made it that way so that when we get there, he's got to prepare a place for us. And when we get there, it'll all be pre-planned. Just like even this night is prepared, like this hour is prepared. God knows what it's going to take for you to get there. And so he made sure, because he wants you to be there. He has already planned for you to be there. There is a placemat at the heavenly wedding supper of the Lamb. There's a placemat. It has your name on it. There's a spoon and probably four or five forks. I don't know how many. There'll be two or three knives and tables and cups and glasses. And there'll be things that we didn't even imagine. I never figured out what to do with all them dishes. I thought, poor dishwasher. I mean, I have no problem, you know, mixing my dessert with my bean juice. I mean, it ain't no problem. I mean, just keep bringing it on. You know, I can eat right out of the same bowl. I can eat my soup, and I pour cereal right in it. It don't bother me at all. Some people, they can't mix their food at all. Oh, my, it's like contamination or something. And so that's why I guess why they have to have all them plates and forks. And I never knew if I was supposed to start at the inside one and work my way out or start at the outside one and work my way in. But I know one thing, when we get there, we'll know. Amen. When we get there, we'll know. Because we'll be children of a king. We'll dine as his guests. How blessed these children are. But it's all pre-planned and prepared. As our musicians return, we find a place to jump out here. We'll kind of continue our thought this evening. Let's change our posture. Let's stand to our feet. You say, well, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That still has nothing to do with it. That's only a temporal gift for you. The real gift is your soul down in there, see? That was born of God. And that controls the whole thing. The Word of God and the will of God. Now, then maybe somebody would want to go to seed on that and say, well, that means that we don't need the Holy Ghost anymore. No. He said it was a temporal gift to get you through this life. I'm still in this life. I still need the Holy Ghost. I still need the moving of the power of God in my soul. I still need a stirring. I need a shaking. I need conviction. I need everything that the Holy Ghost was sent to do, to lead me, guide me, direct me into all truth. Because I don't have all truth yet. I believe that which is perfect has come. I believe it's here, but I just don't understand it all. And so that's why I need preaching. That's why I need church. That's why I need the love of God in my life, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so I don't know how I'm going to get there. I just know that He sent me all the tools, all the equipment, all the mechanism, the vehicle that I need to get there. He's provided it. God hath provided a way. There's a provided way. Is that right? And a little message, what it takes to overcome all unbelief. Brother Ram says, well, now, when I go overseas, there's a big ship sitting there, a big airship. He says, 7 times around I flew this thing around. I don't go say, hey, pilot, before I go on this ship, before I get on this big old 777, they didn't have those then, but they got them now. Tell me how much scope each one of them props has, and give me all the mechanics of how this plane will operate. In a time of storm, what will it do? How much power do you have? How high can you climb? All the mechanics, I don't ask those things. I know the ship went across with someone else. And if the ship went across with someone else, it'll go across with me. So I just climb aboard, get me a seat. I go collect me a bunch of pillars or pillows. I don't know how you say them here. We sleep on pillars. Jacob slept on a pillar, remember? It's a stone. And I go find me a bunch of pillows and I stuff them down all in the seat, all around in there. You know, I get in there and I get me that blanket and I wrap it around. I get my Bose noise canceling earbuds and I poke them in my ears. And I put that thing down on my face and I wrap myself in a blanket and I crawl up in the corner and try to sleep as long as I can. Because I know that when we land, amen, we're going to be on the other side of the world, across the ocean. And I think, oh God, I don't have a care in the world. I just rest in my little cocoon here in the arms of God. I started out on this side of worm. Amen. But I know when I get over on the other side, oh, I'll come out a butterfly. I'll be all changed. My atoms will be changed. My molecules will be changed. All my vitamins and all everything will be all changed. Amen. All my faults and failures, they'll be over. I'm looking for that city whose builder and maker is God, friends. So I just climb aboard and I get me a seat and I sit down. It's up to the pilot to see that it gets there. It's up to the pilot this morning, friends. He said that where I am, it's like the one old boy said. He said, I wasn't worried about, worried about dying. He said, while I was up in this place, I was worried about that pilot dying. He said he didn't want that pilot to die while he was up there. Oh, let me tell you, my pilot already died. Amen. He died until heaven's closed their eyes and the sun quit shining. But on Easter morning, he rose. Amen. He's conquered. He's alive forevermore. He can't die ever again. But he's there as a high priest. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, and he's a pilot of my ship this morning. He can't die. He can't fail. He can't make a mistake, friends. He can't make a wrong decision. And he said that where I am, there you'll be also. Oh, he's got the controls this morning. Just climb aboard and rest. Shalom, little bride. Shalom this morning. Rest. Hallelujah. Oh, my. We can just rest in the arms of God. Amen. Oh, don't you love him? Let's pray together. Father, this morning we lift up our hands to say how much that we love you. For you're worthy of all of our praises. That, Lord, that you have pre-planned us. You've desired before I ever was. Oh, for generations before I ever came, you were planning. You brought this one to that one and this one to that one. And sometimes it looked dark and sometimes it looked illegitimate. It looked terrible. It wasn't something that you would want in society. But, Lord, you chose it, Lord. It was according to your choosing, the breeding process, Lord, to bring out a certain ring of a certain bell. Because you know that over in that city, they'll ring those golden bells. I'll be one of those bells that's ringing out. Grace, 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 a marvelous grace. Oh, I'll ring out through all eternity. Oh, God, that you chose me, that you had a way for me. Lord, there was an election. There was a predestination for me. I can't appreciate it enough. My mortal tongue can't form the words. So we just have to say, Lord, you know. You know this morning, Lord, how we feel and how that we're preparing, Lord, for that translation. Help us, Lord. Let us just find that little place and rest in the arms of Jesus until our change comes. As Job said, in my appointed time, I wait for my change to come. Praise the Lord. What are you playing? Yes, amen. What a day. What a day that will be when my Jesus is my Jesus. Amen. I know he's your Jesus, but he's my Jesus. Who saved wonderful. Hallelujah. Well, there'll be no sick this morning, friends. We'll be glad to pray for you. Oh, hallelujah. And forever I will be with the one who died on dark Calvary. Oh, what a day. Glorious day. That will be. Thank you, Father, for the message today, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'll let it just begin to ruminate in our hearts, Lord, that we just to digest it completely, to realize, oh God, how important it is, oh God, to be changed in the spirit man, Lord, to be born again, Lord, and not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, by the Word of God. And Lord, that we can be nurtured up in the power of that Word and feed upon that Word, the vitamins of that of the message of the hour, Lord, the vitamin J-E-S-U-S. Lord, that we can be grow up in the stature of the fullness, the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us today, Lord. We love you. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Maybe we'll send you out patting your hands. Be happy today. It's the day the Lord has made. Amen. Let's sing that old song of the church. By and by, when the morning comes. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for that day? Praise God. I just know that we don't understand it right now. There's not a lot of things that we don't understand, but we know this one thing, that by and by, we will. Well, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better.
That life demands when all
trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes. Oh, the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed from any thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the tips when we try to do our best. We'll understand it better by and by. Oh yes, and by and by, when the morning comes. Oh, the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we've overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. Hallelujah. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes. Oh, the saints of God are gathered home, and we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. Open wide. Yes, I'm in that number. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. Open wide. Up to G. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. Why? I'm in that number, that blood-washed number. I'm in that number, okay, why? John saw that number, the blood-washed number. John saw that number, okay, why? John saw that number. That blood-washed number, John saw that number, rose in white. I'm in that number, yes, I'm in that number. I'm in that number, rose in white. I'm in that number, I'm in that number. I'm in that number, amen. Praise His name this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to His name. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad to be in that number this morning? Praise God, having those promises in our heart that what He said was true and what He said He's going to do. Amen. And I believe we're getting close. Hallelujah. Appreciate the word this morning. I'm going to let you go. And hope to see you back tonight at 5 o'clock. And I tell you, it's just good to be in His presence. I love it so much. I'd rather be there than anywhere I know just to be in His presence. Amen. We're going to let you go as we sing this song. Brother Dale's already prayed. We'll just sing this song as we go. And I just want to thank You, Lord, for letting me hear Your word. What have I done to deserve such glory revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw Your glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life. Lord, I thank Thee. You didn't how to open my eyes. You could easily pass me by. For the age I was living in was wretched, poor, and blind. Then I heard recognizing your name, serpent seed and perfect faith, the bridge and the message of grace. Lord, I thank Thee. Are you thankful this morning? And I just want to thank You, Lord, for letting me hear Your word. What have I done since glory revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw You glorious light, and face to face with eternal life. And Lord, I thank Thee. Not even in my wildest dream did I think I'd see such things as the coming of the Lord and the rapture I have heard, but now I see God in simplicity. The spoken word is original seed. Lord, I thank Thee, yes, Lord, and I just want to thank You.